I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors here. One of them is Nahal here. It's Moosey. And Robert Soares are both here. So they're the ones who do all the work. I'll be talking about on-site systems or septic systems. This slide is to convince you that these are common. Based on an EPA report, based on census data in 2001, I think, reported in 2002, nationally about 24% of the homes are on septic systems. And in Georgia, it's about 36%, and that's fairly common for the Southeast. And so this diagram shows that a septic system consists of a septic tank where the solids, for the most part, are removed. And then this says adsorption field or drain field. The effluent from the septic tank then is distributed into the soil, and there's a lot of treatment that goes on there. But septic systems are not just in rural areas. We're working in Atlanta. So if Atlanta is the poster child for sprawl, much of the growth has been faster than the sewer system could keep up with. So we have situations that are very common, as depicted in this diagram, is that we have subdivisions that our lots can be a quarter acre, and they're on septic systems. So there's nothing in the septic system, conventional septic system, designed to remove nitrogen. There's a certain amount of denitrification that occurs in the soil. It depends on texture. But for the most part, we're relying on dilution. And so one of our questions has been, at what density or number of systems per square kilometer do you start to have an effect in streams? And so our groundwater system is just as shown here. We have a very tight connection between the streams and the groundwater. It's typical Piedmont. So Piedmont, southern Piedmont, would go from Alabama all the way up into Virginia. It's the I-85 corridor where there's lots of urban development. So there have been a number of studies that have looked at septic systems and groundwater nitrogen, and a few on streams. And it's always kind of tough to separate out the effect of septic systems and other potential sources. And what are we worried about in terms of nitrogen standards? Well, of course, we're worried about drinking water, the 10 parts per million for drinking water. But also, states are required to develop NNCs, numeric nutrient criteria, a directive from EPA. In the Southeast, the only state that has really done that is Florida, and they got sued by both sides, so they probably got it about right. And their standard, depending on the type of water, range from, and I may not have this exactly right, about a part per million to a little over 2 parts per million. So these are much lower concentrations than we generally think about for nitrogen. That's total nitrogen. So we've been involved in a study looking at 24 small watersheds in the outskirts of Atlanta. This is Gwinnett County, which would be one of the fastest growing counties at one time in the U.S. And we have 24 watersheds with a range of septic density, and we've been doing lots of sampling. But in the middle of this watershed is a U.S. gauge station. And again, I'm showing our smaller watersheds. These are all less than about 5 kilometers in terms of area. But in the middle of them is a U.S. gauge station, and this is on Big Haynes Creek. And so this is the watershed then that we've looked at in terms of modeling. Because we can ask some questions with modeling. We can ask a model to separate out the effect of septic systems. So whether you believe it or not, that's another question. So this is what I wanted to talk about, is our work with the Big Haynes Creek watershed. It's about 45 kilometers squared. There are almost 4,000 septic systems in the area, 58% urban, 25% forest, and 10% farmland. This just shows the USGS gauge station, but the lower photo you can get an idea of what size stream it is. And USGS has sampled on a roughly monthly basis from about 1995 up until 2010, I believe. And this shows the nitrate and the organic nitrogen contents. And you can see they're all low, and actually, at least with the nitrate, there's kind of a decreasing trend. And in about 2003, there was a small point source that was closed, and that may account for part of the decreasing trend. But this is basically our data that we'll use for calibration. So again, several references here to earlier talks. We're using the SWOT model. We're using the on-site algorithm that J.Heck Jones incorporated into the SWOT model that we use for the most part default settings. We use the conventional wastewater system. The assumption is that there's 73 gallons per day per person, that the discharge from the septic tank, the total nitrogen is 60 milligrams per liter, and almost all of that is ammonium. Now, one of the big differences is we assume no failing septic systems. And we definitely have some different views on what the percent failure numbers are. In Georgia, at least, and I think in many of the southeastern states, we're probably underestimating, but if you talk to most people, they would cite a number of 1 to 5% failing systems. How to detect failing systems is definitely an issue. But in our model, by setting the age of the septic systems, we haven't included any failing septic systems. So we're just looking at conventional systems that are operating properly, asking, is there a density issue? One of the things we did change is the number of sept cap, that's the number of people per home, and we have good data on that from Gwinnett County. Instead of the default 2.5, it's 3.01. We've run, for flow, we've run calibration and validation. We took a 8-year period, and 2003 to 2006 was our calibration, and then the remaining years were our validation. I haven't run validation for the nitrogen part. Other sources of nitrogen are pasture land use, so we assume we don't have information on livestock at the scale of our watershed. What we know is livestock numbers at a county level basis, so we assume that all of the broiler manure produced in Gwinnett County is evenly distributed over all of the pasture land, and we end up with 1,600 kilograms per hectare per year. And we do know what the nitrogen content of broiler litter is, and so that's included. And then the other big source is lawns, and so based on a paper by Deanna Osmond and Hardy in North Carolina, we assume that 70% of the homes apply the recommended rate of nitrogen, and so that gives us 115 kilograms per hectare per year. So this is our watershed. There are 29 sub-basins, and then again we have good data in Gwinnett County on where septic systems are, and you can see they're concentrated in certain sub-basins. Then we use SWOT cup. We actually use Parasol for our flow calibration. This, we use kind of the standard set of flow parameters, but you can see the sensitive ones. One of them, of course, was curve number. And then once we had the calibrated model for flow, we fixed those values for the flow variables and added 11 parameters that deal with nitrogen. And this includes some in-stream nitrogen processes, but it includes denitrification and nitrification in the groundwater. And this is showing you then for the calibration period, lower graph shows observed and predicted flow. So that's on a daily basis, the Nash Sutcliffe of 0.48. That's pretty good. If we did a monthly, it would jump up to 0.6 or 0.7. Then in the top graph shows nitrate concentrations versus predicted, and we're bouncing around what the observed value was, but we definitely get some high values there. Under low flow conditions, our nitrate concentrations go up. So then we can ask, once we have the calibrated model, we can ask, what is the effect of septic systems? And the way we do that is by taking the septic systems out and see what sort of reduction we get in terms of the nitrogen load. And that's shown over in the graph on the right. So this is the total nitrogen, and you can see that there's been a substantial reduction there in the total nitrogen load. And then the distribution of the nitrogen is shown in this graph. Almost all of the nitrogen in the streams is organic nitrogen and nitrate, the very little ammonium or NO2, and most of the reduction came from a reduction the nitrate. So the contribution of septic systems when they're functioning is a groundwater contribution that's coming in as nitrogen, nitrate. And we can, this is at the watershed scale, but we can also look at the subbasin scale. So this is just showing the watershed scale again. The watershed scale, what's the problem with them? Our density is somewhere around 100 systems per square kilometer. And at the watershed scale, about 38% of the nitrogen is coming from septic systems. But we can also look at subbasin scales. So our subbasins range from near zero up to maybe 200 system per square kilometer. And we can see that the nitrogen contribution ranges from about 10 up to a little over 50. I'm a little bit concerned that this didn't come down and intersect to zero. So I'm going to say these are preliminary results. I had to go into each file and remove the septic system contribution to get this to work, and I may have missed a couple. Or it may be, maybe it's not a straight line, and it just wants to curve down there to zero. So summary, most of the nitrogen load was nitrogen nitrate or organic nitrogen. Ammonium and NO2 were low. This indicates that the nitrogen contribution from properly functioning septic systems is a groundwater discharge, and as much as half of the load can be from on-site systems when we're dealing with areas that are high density. And this modeling effort pretty much agrees with what the rest of our study, that it's all been based on measurements. And there we've seen that once we get above about 100 systems per square kilometer, there's a clear increase in nitrate nitrate content under base flow conditions. And we're looking at the storm flow too. And so with that, I'd be glad to take a question or two. Yes? So one solution is to put everything on sewer, right? And but another, that would be expensive. Another solution is to use advanced nitrogen treatment, and this is commonly done in the Pacific Northwest, in the New England area, Pennsylvania, but in the Southeast we do very little of that, and it at least doubles, maybe triples, the cost of the septic system. But they're dirt cheap to begin with. They're, you know, a typical system, I think, is maybe $4,000 on a home that might cost, $500,000, something like that. So I think we could afford to do it. It just, at least in Georgia, nitrogen has not been of concern. But when we get into North Carolina, with the estuaries, Chesapeake Bay, TMDL, That's a long answer, but I think there are some very nice systems that have been shown to work, and they're just they're a little bit more expensive. Yes.
Just to follow up. Yeah. So you think we're even on pace right now? There's been a lack of need for them so far.
Lack of concern for nitrogen because we're below 10 parts per million. Our state is, if the streams are below 10 parts per million, we're okay. We don't have the numeric nutrient criteria. Florida does, and so now they're very concerned with septic system. Chesapeake Bay has or that region has the TMDL, so yeah, it's a matter of what you want to do.
Thank you.
Yaakov.
David, just going back to the previous talk, were there any issues with lack of creativity?
That's an interesting question. I don't think that's incorporated into the SWOT model, lag, right? So we definitely have anion adsorption in our soils, and to what extent that happens, it's really saprolite, but it could be happening there. And so there's really a retardation there, but I don't know. Yeah. Good. Maybe we need to go on to the next talk.